Hey, this is Cooper Smith. I'm one of the student worship pastors at Eastview, and I'm honored to welcome you to our Eastview Students High School podcast. We hope this is encouraging, inspiring, and helpful for you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy the message.
So as was just mentioned, my name is Joy Thompson, and I am the preaching resident here at Eastview Christian Church. Now, what does that mean exactly? I'm basically Mike Baker's intern, and I don't do a whole lot. I just preach when everyone else is gone for Thanksgiving. That's what I do. That's what I'm here. So I am so excited to talk to you guys today. And those of you guys listening on Spotify, you know who you are. Hi, I see you. Now, I want all of you guys to raise your hand if you have ever been in the Scouts. Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, Venturing Scouts, Sea Scouts. Some of you guys are looking at me like, what scout? Yeah, I know what they are. Now keep your hands raised if you're an eagle. Any eagles? No? Let me get off the stage. I can't believe this. Y'all, what are y'all doing? Nobody? All right, anyway. Now, okay, let's expand it a little bit. Raise your hand if you've ever been camping. Anyone? Hey, there we go. Now we got a ton of hands. Y'all like going camping? Everyone like going hiking? Yes? No. I don't like. Yes, camping is great. All right, now raise your hand if you've ever been outside at all. What's that like? Can you guys tell me? Touched grass, hugged a tree, went outside. It's a wilderness out there. It's crazy, you know? Okay, last question. Don't worry. Why did you raise your hand? Because I asked you to, right? Because I'm the girl on the stage with the microphone all hooked up and the old Bible and the degree from a college that said I was qualified to talk to you guys about the Bible. Now, to be fair, papers from colleges do say a lot of things, but I promise I do know how to talk to you about the Bible. And that's why you guys listen to me, is because, at least for now, I am a voice of influence. But you guys know about voice of influence, don't you? Yeah, you're high schoolers. You got plenty of them. You've got parents, you've got teachers, you've got preachers and pastors and peers and a bunch of different P words, and people keep talking to you and talking to you and talking to you, and you don't know who to trust. Who do you ask? Who is the right voice of influence? Well, we just played charades, right? And some of you guys, the two that were up here, you looked at certain people because you trusted them. And imagine if everyone else started shouting at you different things that were up on the screen. There'd be chaos. You wouldn't know what the right answer is. There'd be too many voices. Now let me add two more to that stack. You've got God's voice, and you've got Satan's voice. Two very, very influential voices. One is a bit more important than the other. Sometimes, though, they sound really, really similar, and it's really hard to differentiate between the two. You want to go the God path, and you want to listen to his voice, but you got this guy, Satan, over here, trying to impersonate him, being like, yeah, no, listen to me, hang on, I got you. So how do you tell that apart? How do you survive in this wilderness when you don't know who to trust? Well, I tell you, the only way to survive is if you got to differentiate between God's and Satan's. God's and anyone else's, in fact, because his is the only voice that matters. Open your Bibles, because I know you got them, to Mark chapter 1. Hopefully that name sounds familiar, because we've been talking about him for the past month. Mark is the second book in the New Testament, so you turn there, first chapter, Mark chapter 1. The verse we're looking at is Mark 1, 12 through 13. If you weren't here last Sunday, Connor Wood talked about Jesus' baptism and the official launch of his ministry, which was 30 years into his life, which makes me feel a lot better. Jesus' career didn't start until much later. But we pick up right after that baptism. Right after something good just happened, something real cool just emerged, the skies have opened, and now suddenly the story continues. Read with me, chapter 1, verse 12. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended to him. That's it. Yep, that's all. That's all. Now, if you thought. All right, now turn to chapter 4 in Matthew, which is the book right before. Now, I know what you're saying. Preacher, yes, audience, I say. Preacher, I thought we were looking at Mark. No, we're looking at Jesus. And you know who else looked at Jesus? Matthew. Now turn to Matthew 4. Matthew also looks at this exact same thing, but he gives a little bit more context. So Matthew 4, verse 1 says this. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Understatement of the millennia. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city, that being Jerusalem, and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Translation, "Get off my back." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Major disclaimer here, by the way. Jesus is a trained professional. Please do not starve yourself in the desert for 40 days, 2 months, on your own. Please, people will be mad at me if you do. Thank you. Moving on. Let's set the scene here first. You just graduated from college. Oh, that's a scary thought. I know, I've been there. You just graduated from college. It's the first 2 months of your career, and you're going through, and you can't eat during any of it. You can't eat anything during the first 2 months of your career. Oh, and by the way, you're surrounded by wild animals. Just throwing that out there. Yeah, because, and to make things more fun, because we all love spice, let's add Satan to the mix. And so he's throwing spitballs at you from the cubicle behind you, and he's just nagging you and harassing you. And he's like, hey, you know, he's just being annoying. And okay, so in Jesus' case, this is actual God being attended to by angels. And Mark, I love Mark to death, but he gives us not one, not three, but two entire verses dedicated to the whole ordeal. The worst 2 months of your life, and you get two verses. At least Matthew gives us half a chapter and a whole conversation to talk about it. Honestly, I could talk about this for hours, but luckily, y'all get the TLDR today, so here we go. The first example that we have, especially from Matthew, is that Jesus and Satan have kind of this back and forth going on. They have this rivalry, which should be obvious. They're bitter enemies. Satan tries to convince Jesus to do something completely harmless. Have you ever heard the saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions? That's a phrase that's been tossed around for me at least a couple times. And so this is example number one of that saying. Satan tells Jesus, "Turn bread into stone. I know you're hungry. You've been starving out here. It's hot. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to eat. You're hungry. Just turn these stones into bread. No one will see. No one will care. It's fine, right?" That does sound tempting, but come on, folks. Come on. You know this ain't about the bread. You know this ain't. Satan didn't look at God himself and be like, you know, I wonder if he had enough to eat today. No, he didn't. Satan looked at God and he was like, how do I get Jesus to betray God's commands? Luckily, Jesus knew exactly what to do. He countered back with, but I don't think God wanted me to do that. And you know what? Here's why I know. Because the Bible says this. Get wrecked. And then Satan is like, okay, well, you know what else God said? And he tries to tempt Jesus with Bible quotes. Bible quotes! Whoa. Now that is, unfortunately, too real. It's like, Satan is kind of like that Karen that uses Bible verses out of context. You know the type I'm talking about. Like if you're working at a store and you're like, hi, would you like a rewards card today? And this lady says, my reward is in heaven. Like, is that a no? Did you want it? You know, Jesus also said to, you know, sell your possessions and give to the poor. So, I don't know. Jesus calls him out. Satan is like, you know what? This and this. You know, you just throw yourself down and the angels will catch you because that's what God said, right? And Jesus claps back, uno reverse card. He said, I hear y'all laughing. Don't worry. He said, no, you. He said, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He knew what verse Satan was using. He knew why he was using it. And he knew exactly how to counteract it. I wish I could do that. Jesus is just on another level. Now Satan's getting frustrated. Now it's getting real. The stakes are getting higher. So Satan brings him up to this mountain and he shows him the world, all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he says, hey, okay, these right here, they don't belong to you yet. They belong to me. But I can give them to you if you just, it's really easy, not too much at all. If you just bow down and worship me, just do that and everything will be yours. I want to expand on this a little bit because it is so terribly, terribly important for you. God's plan for Jesus was that he should rule the world through the cross. You guys have heard about this cross story before, I hope. He wanted to save us, save you, save me, all of humanity from our sin by dying on that cross so that we could become holy. Satan was trying to give Jesus an easy way out. Satan was saying, hey, you know those guys? Forget those guys. They don't even care about you. Let's just forget the cross, forget torture, forget death, forget all the stuff you don't want to do. If you just kneel right now, I'll just a head nod even, I'll take that. Right now, I will solve all your problems. Tempting, a little bit. But Jesus, he was fed up. Sorry for my language, he was kind of pissed off. He said, away from me, Satan. Get back. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Even to the last breath, Jesus would not bow. He would not break. You get your lies and your heresy out of here. You leave me alone. And so Satan left. Sometimes it's that easy. Sometimes you just look at him and say, you get away from me. I know what you're doing. You leave me alone. And he'll leave. Sometimes it's a bit harder, though, isn't it? It is easy to overlook the whole thing. As I said, Mark's description is brief, but there is a reason for that. Mark's description, where he just says Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, he didn't embellish it with this big battle between Jesus and Satan, the battle of wits going on, and one triumphs over the other. No, Mark keeps it very simple, where Jesus was just tempted in the desert by Satan for 40 days. And you know why? It's because it's ongoing. And ongoing. And ongoing. And we can apply that to our own lives. Bear with me here. Can you see yourself in this story? Can you see yourself being asked some of these questions? They sound like they're okay questions. They sound like they're decent questions. They're not. You know they're not. Mark shows us what the problem is, and the problem is that Satan keeps tempting us over and over and over again, and then Matthew shows us how to handle it. He gives us a couple of examples from Jesus himself, the master who knew how to handle Satan and talk back to him. Walking around the wilderness, you're gonna find yourself in the story. That was the whole point for writing it down, is you're going to find yourself in this type of wilderness, and you're going to walk around without anyone to guide you, without no one to comfort you, and then Satan is going to come out of nowhere, and he's going to say, hey, did God really say this or that? That sounds familiar. That sounds like Genesis to me, the original fall. Did God really say this or that? Are you sure you know how to... And he just, all these lies and everything, and you know, sometimes it manifests as anxiety. He's like, are you sure? Are you sure? I don't know. Are you sure? You think you're ready? I don't think you're ready. Sometimes it's depression. I can't do anything. You're nothing. You're not worth it. All these voices screaming at you or whispering at you, and it's just, he'll give you a way out. It's not the correct way, and you know this. He'll say to you, I can bend the rules just for you, just this once, because I love you. I think you're swell. So I'm going to, you know, God's will. No, we're not going to listen to that. I'm going to bend the rules just for you. Don't, and you know it's fake. You know that whatever he offers you is fake and it's going to break within a year. It's like a bad phone. Someone offers you a cheap phone on, you know, when you buy something cheap off the internet, like that's Satan. That's the devil's handiwork right there. Wish, devil's website. Don't do it. You know what all this is? When Satan talks to you like this, it's called temptation. It's mentioned a couple times in the verses. I don't know if you caught that. Temptation. It's when the devil is talking to you and trying to get you to do something. But it itself is not the sin. I want you to hear this because I was in your position too once. Temptation itself is not a sin. Do not beat yourself over the head because you're being tempted by the devil. That's what he does. That's his job. That's why he's tempting you. What you got to do is not fall for it. You see the trick. You see through it. It's like a curtain pulled over your eyes. That's where the sin comes in, is when you do fall to that temptation. And it, oh man, come back from it. Know how to fight it. Know how to not indulge in it. You have to fight it, and it's going to be hard. And you are fighting it. I know you are. It's going to be so difficult. Does anyone else know what you're fighting? Does anyone else know what you're dealing with? Do you feel beaten up and trodden down because the world just won't leave you alone? Do you feel alone? All these whispers and temptations and problems just won't stop. You don't think Jesus is right there with you? You don't think Jesus knows what it feels like to be alone in the wilderness, hungry, tempted, surrounded by wild animals clawing at him? You don't think he knows what it's like? You don't think he knows what you're going through? He does. That's what the Bible says. Last I checked, the Bible's right. Jesus doesn't want you to be alone. And he doesn't want you to fall for these temptations either. So here is my practical advice to you. When the devil comes to you and says to you, you're nothing, and God, did he really say this? I want you to look him right in the eyes, and I want you to say, honey, you got beat in a fiddle contest by a guy named Johnny in Georgia. Don't you even talk to me about nothing. Can I get an amen in the house? That's right. The devil ain't worth nothing. Get behind me, Satan. That's what you tell him. Now, I want you to say those exact words, by the way, that he got outfiddled by a guy named Johnny in Georgia. He'll remember that. It'll do that. It's a critical hit right there. Guys, he is going to attack you, though, because of your faith. And I want you, okay, I want you to listen to me here. This is important. Always. Face to face, mano y mano. Some of y'all got baptized last Sunday. I am so proud of you. Good for you. Thank you. Some of you are already baptized, some of you won't be for a while, and both of those are plenty okay. But I want you to know that Satan is going to attack you because of that baptism. That baptism came with a calling. Jesus' ministry didn't stop with his baptism, it began. And immediately, he went out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days without food. Immediately. Do you know what that means for you? That means that you are going to have to go into that wilderness and survive. How? I hate camping. I don't want to be in the wilderness. Tools. This is your tent. These are your picks. This is your shovel. This is your survival guide. This is everything you got. This is how we survive. All of us together. Not one of us alone. Not one of us without Jesus, not one of us without God, not one of us falling to temptation without holding on to Jesus and saying, no, get behind me, Satan. I ain't listening to you. I've heard your voice before, and I've heard God's voice before, and I like his a lot better. I think he knows what he's talking about. Satan, I don't think you know what you're talking about. I don't think you're worth anything. You hold your chin up high. You can do it now. Hold your chin up high. Higher than the devil. He can't reach you. Because we've got Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, might I add. He's still alive. Oh, and he's right there beside you. This book, it's big. It's very hefty, very large, a lot of words in it. And it may be hard to find a good starting point. You got some experts in the house. You got some survival guides, if you might. You got me, you've got Cooper, you got Zach, Mike Baker, anyone. We're all ready and willing to help you find your way through this wilderness. Help you to differentiate between God's voice and Satan's. It's gonna be hard, it's not gonna be easy, and you're not gonna be perfect overnight. And I'm not saying all your problems are gonna go away. I'm saying you're gonna survive. And I'm saying that if you try your best, and if we all work together, we're gonna be okay. I'm gonna pray here in a second. And during that prayer, I want you to try and listen for God's voice. Don't even think to yourself. Don't listen to Satan. If you hear Satan's voice, I want you to say, get behind me. You go away. I'm listening to God right now. And I'm gonna pray. Is that all right with you? Everyone bow your heads. Let's pray. Holy God, we know you're in this house today. We know you're here, you're sitting next to us, you're in the aisles, you're everywhere, you're surrounding us like a big warm hug, and we love you so much. Lord, outside is this wilderness, this desert, this jungle, whatever it may be, of just voices and animals and temptation, and we don't know how to counteract it, but you do. You're the one who knows. And that's why we lean into you, God. You're the one that we hold hands with. You're the one that we lay down upon when we need rest. You're the one that's going to survive with us in this wilderness. Give us your voice, God. Tell us what to do. Tell us where to go. How long are we going to sit here? Can I eat yet? We love you so, so much. Help us to hear your voice, oh God. It's in thy name I pray. Amen.
All right, guys. Let's stand and respond to God.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the message, we'd love it if you would join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our Eastview Students High School service. We also want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast and share it to your social media accounts. To stay up to date, check us out on Instagram at EastviewHSM and check out our Eastview Students YouTube channel. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.